The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it. All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Monday, April 14th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 week here at the Russ Belville Show. That's right, we are getting ready for the Cannabis Liberation Holiday, April 20th, coming up this Sunday, where I will be presenting at the High Times Cannabis Cup. It's taking place the 19th and 20th. My presentation is on the 20th. It's the first presentation of the day, 12:30 sharp in the forum at the High Times Cannabis Cup. It's at the Denver Mart. It's going to be about 30,000 people. It's going to be huge, and you need to get online right now to cannabiscup.com if you even want to consider going. There's going to be plenty of other events going on as well. We'll tell you all about them in today's 420 Radio News. And all week long, we're going to be bringing you looks at 420 in Denver and all around the country. We'll be calling our various friends in Seattle. We'll talk about what's going on in Portland, in the California areas, all sorts of things going on for 420 all around the country and all around the world. And if you'd like to contribute, you can join us in hour two, Toker Talk Radio. The phone number is 971-533-7111. Tell us what you're planning on doing for 420. We also will be bringing you a live show from the road, literally from the road. It'll probably be in the car. We are road tripping to Denver, so we'll give you a look at our show live on the road from the freeways in Idaho and Utah on probably Wednesday and Thursday, and then we arrive in Denver on Friday. So we'll be checking all of that out. And on today's show, of course, it's Monday, so we got to visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, where he'll take your live calls at 971-533-7111 at the bottom of the hour in our cannabis Q&A. Also, in Behind the Headlines, we take a look at how Colorado weed is pushing out Mexican brickweed in the states surrounding Colorado. And we've got a radical rant. Could 1978 happen all over again? Some of the similarities between that year and 2014 and why we need to be careful if we want to keep this momentum for marijuana legalization going up and up and up. Thanks for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. Thanks for supporting us. We've got all sorts of great gear that you guys have helped us purchase that is going to make our production from 420 in Denver this year better than ever. We'll have live coverage, streaming audio, at least streaming video if we can get the bandwidth, and we'll have plenty of interviews, recordings, pictures, and stories to tell you when we get back next week. The news is next. See you in a minute.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today. 420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, April 14th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Maryland is now the 21st whole plant medical marijuana state and the 18th decriminalization state. Governor Martin O'Malley today signed the bills into law. The medical marijuana bill does not yet define qualifying conditions or patient possession limits, but does mandate that 15 medical marijuana growers will be licensed to provide medicine for an undetermined number of dispensaries. The earliest medicine will be available for patients in Maryland is projected to be fall of 2015. Meanwhile, the decriminalization measure just enacted protects all adults from arrest for the possession of 10 grams or less of marijuana as a civil offense with a fine of up to $100 for the first offense, up to $250 for the second offense, and up to $500 for subsequent offenses. Third-time offenders and individuals under 21 years of age will be required to undergo a clinical assessment for substance abuse disorder and a drug education program. The measure will officially go into effect on October 1st. A new marijuana vending machine is making its debut in Colorado this week. Zazz is a machine made by American Green and was demonstrated at a private event this Saturday prior to its unveiling at the Herbal Elements Dispensary in Denver. The machine uses biometric technology mandated under the Control Meth Act to verify the ID and age of the purchaser. The machine does not yet read medical marijuana red cards in Colorado, but Herbal Elements is a medical-only dispensary, so anyone using the machine will have been identified as a legitimate medical consumer before accessing the machine. So far, the machines will only be placed inside licensed dispensaries. 420 is drawing tourists to Colorado in droves. According to the travel website Hotels.com, booking for the April 18th through 20th weekend is up 73% compared to the 420 weekend last year. In the first quarter of 2014, hotel searches for Denver are up 25%, and the state of Colorado overall has seen a 7% increase. Tourists visiting for the weekend have a large selection of pot-related fun at hand, besides visiting the state's legal marijuana shops. The High Times Cannabis Cup will take place at the Denver Mart, expecting 30,000 people in attendance. Concerts in the area include Ice Cube and Action Bronson on Friday, Slightly Stupid and Mac Miller on Saturday, and Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa on Sunday. The 420 rally at Civic Center Park will also feature B.O.B. and Wyclef Jean. Leftover Salmon will appear in the streets, and the Dab Roots Festival will bring Nappy Roots and other reggae heavyweights to the Dark Star Lounge. The Counterculture Champs Trade Show will also be happening. For a complete Denver 420 guide, see The Cannabist online. St. Louis cops have donated equipment seized from marijuana growers to a charity that helps disabled people plant indoor vegetable gardens. An estimated $20,000 worth of lights, ballasts, hoods, and other equipment taken from marijuana busts was given to the Challenge Center, a nonprofit organization supported by the Catholic Charities Bureau. This is the first time the St. Louis County Sheriff's Office has donated the items rather than sell them at auction. Sheriff Ross Littman said, quote, "I thought it could be of use to them. I know they will use it for a good cause. It didn't make sense to put the items back on the market. The equipment will now go to a good cause and won't end up in the wrong hands," end quote, said the sheriff, referring to marijuana growers who often frequent police auctions for low-cost equipment. The push for cannabidiol-only medical marijuana continues as Kentucky's governor has signed Senate Bill 124. This law was approved unanimously by the Kentucky House and Senate. It approves the universities of Kentucky and Louisville to produce and distribute high CBD oil to patients who have a recommendation from a university physician. The law simply exempts cannabidiol from the definition of marijuana, similar to how industrial hemp isn't considered marijuana. Kentucky becomes the third state to pass a CBD-only bill after Utah and Alabama. Meanwhile, CBD-only bills are in the works in Florida, South Carolina, Missouri, Mississippi, and Wisconsin. Florida Governor Rick Scott's executive order to drug test every state employee may be reviewed by the U.S. Supreme Court. The 11th Circuit Court of Appeals slapped down the governor's overly broad approach to public employee drug testing last year, saying that suspicionless drug testing was an unconstitutional violation of most public employees' Fourth Amendment rights. Some of the 85,000 affected employees who have safety-sensitive positions could be legally tested, the appeals court reasoned, but not every employee. So the appeals court sent the case back to the district court to set out which employees could and could not be tested. In response, Governor Scott petitioned the U.S. Supreme Court, which is expected to decide Friday whether they will hear the case. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, April 14th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at our website at 420radio.org. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and investigate how Colorado's marijuana is killing nearby demand for Mexican brickweed. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Hey, Tokers and Tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting. As marijuana goes mainstream, you need to be armed with the facts. Nobody can teach you better than Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D. You may know Dr. Mitch from his column in High Times magazine or his weekly appearance on The Russ Belville Show. Dr. Mitch is also the author of some of the best books on marijuana science, culture, history, and health, including Understanding Marijuana, Parents' Guide to Marijuana, Pot Politics, and more. Visit Amazon.com and search for Mitch Earlywine, that's E-A-R-L-E-Y-W-I-N-E, and order your books today. You can also contact Dr. Mitch by email at 420research@gmail.com.
Free Weed from Danny Danko, starring Danny Danko from Brooklyn, New York. Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines. It's 15 after the hour, and we're taking a look at how Colorado's marijuana is killing the nearby demand for Mexican brickweed. What a surprise. Now, you're going to have to really appreciate the bleedings of law enforcement as their cash cow of marijuana arrests slowly becomes extinct. All those statistics padding, low-level marijuana arrests with all the attendant asset forfeitures and overtime pay and federal grants, well, they've all but disappeared in Colorado and Washington and they're pretty much turning into arrest-free fines in places like Maryland that just decriminalized. So the police are pretty terrified about being forced to apprehend real criminals and do real work that now they sometimes can't even keep their own scaremongering straight. The latest example is in Colorado Springs, where the Colorado Springs Gazette, whose motto is, "We're the Colorado newspaper for real Americans who don't believe that commie liberal pot-loving Denver Post." The Colorado Springs Gazette wrote an article entitled, "Law Enforcement from Neighboring States Agree, Colorado has strongest marijuana in the world." And it features cops from Nebraska and Oklahoma wailing about the skunk marijuana from the Centennial State. Let's start with the sheriff of Scotts Bluff County, Nebraska. He says, quote, "There's no place in the world where you can buy as strong marijuana legally as you can in Colorado. It's the most powerful stuff you can find," end quote. And then in Oklahoma, they got a spokesperson for the Oklahoma Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drug Control who says, quote, "It's some of the most powerful marijuana we've ever tested. Some of the most powerful marijuana we have found on Earth is coming out of California and Colorado. It's frightening," end quote. Frightening? Really? Well, according to Jennifer Murray, she's the founder and CEO of Can Labs, Inc., average potency has risen. She says, quote, "Since we started testing years ago, the numbers are exponentially higher. In the 1980s, it was 3 to 5%. Now we have seen our highest pot for THC at 29.4%, end quote. But yeah, that's the outlier. That's the highest pot you've ever found compared to the 3.5% average that you're talking about from the 80s. I mean, it's not like you couldn't have found some, you know, Maui Wowie or Acapulco Gold that was testing in the high teens or even the lower 20s for potency back in the day. I mean, you just had to look for it. You didn't really know a guy. But is higher potency something that has to be frightened, that we have to be frightened of anyway? Dr. Carl Hart has for years been working with subjects smoking marijuana in a lab, and he explains that the immediate effect of marijuana smoking leads users to titrate their dose. They smoke until they feel high. He says when he gives them a joint of low THC marijuana, they smoke it all, but he says, quote, "When you increase the THC, half the cigarette comes back. They don't smoke it all," end quote. However, there is some research in Holland that has shown that tokers using higher potency do smoke less, but they inhale on average more total THC than the tokers of low THC joints. So perhaps even though they're smoking less, they are getting higher. But regardless about all of that, we can argue about how high is too high and what high should be. But something people definitely should be frightened of is Mexican drug cartels. They will bribe, extort, torture, and murder people to bring their low-grade Mexican brickweed into the United States for sale. And without any hint of irony, those cops from Nebraska and Oklahoma tell the Gazette that this powerful Colorado weed is having an economic effect on the Mexican cartels. The Nebraska cop says, quote, "People don't want the Mexican pot anymore. The Colorado pot is way better," end quote. And the Oklahoma cop agrees. He explains how the Colorado pot is more professionally wrapped in airtight, clear packaging, unlike the compressed dry bricks of weed the Mexicans produce. And he explains how an ounce of Colorado pot is going for $400 in nearby states, while the Mexican brickweed sells for $100 to $150 an ounce. Well, isn't this a good thing? Well, no, not for the cops. They don't see squeezing out the Mexican cartels with tax-paying, law-abiding, job-creating Colorado businesses as a good thing. The guy who's the head of the Rocky Mountain High-Intensity Drug Trafficking Area, Tom Gorman, actually said, quote,
Expect to see Mexicans come into the picture if they see an opportunity. It's a great resource for them. There's little danger involved, and extortion is one of their big ways of making money. End quote.
Yeah, but how does that work, Tom? Anyone involved in Colorado's legal marijuana industry undergoes strict background checks and residency requirements, and they can't peddle their brickweed in a brick-and-mortar dispensary, besides the fact that nobody would buy it. They are so desperate, just grasping at straws at this point. I see we got our shipment from Handmade Apparel.
Oh, hell yeah, we did.
We'll do some show and tell in hour two, show you our shirts and all the other cool stuff we got. But thanks so much, Handmade. See you in Denver.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUST to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUST to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show. Music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 23 after the hour, and we are joined on the telephone by Bacon Dan for our Roots Monday tune. How you doing, Dan?
I'm hanging in there, Ross. How you doing, man?
Glad to hear it, you know. And just before I forget, I should announce that tomorrow night I will be appearing on the Ed Foreman Show for their Easter 420 Spectacular. So
I'm very excited about that.
That will be fun. He was asking me if I had a bit to do, and I said, I don't know, top 10 differences between 420 and Easter. I don't know. So, well, you know, kind of a shout out to David Letterman, right? Because he's retiring,
yeah,
right? So we'll do our little
that
top
works,
10.
Man.
Now we'll see about it. We'll see what's happening. So, Bacon Dan, you got us a great tune for today because this is one of my favorite bands for sure. And I like we've been kind of on this good 70s rock tip for about the past 3 or 4 weeks. Tell them who you got today.
Well, today, I mean, we've got War. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. The Cisco Kid. This is actually a song that's been kind of cheering me up. Last week I got laid off from the restaurant, which sucks. But this song, I've been just kind of sitting back and toking up and just getting back in a good state of mind. And this is just a song to get you moving and grooving, man.
Yeah, Cisco Kid. I mean, they had so many great songs. They did Lowrider and Spill the Wine and all sorts of great stuff. So, big favorite for those of us here in 420 radio.
Oh, definitely, man.
Something weird's going on with my keyboard now, so I'm trying to
Yeah.
All right. Never mind. Sorry for the distraction there. So what do you got planned for 420, Dan?
You know what? I really keeping my options open. I thought I was going to be working, but now that I'm not, I don't know. I'm probably going to head down to the waterfront here in Portland and just walk around with an edible and enjoy the nice weather. Well, I don't know if it'll be nice weather here. Probably raining, but that's so nice weather to me.
Well, let's hope it stays nice.
Absolutely, man.
All right. Well, I'll see you at the Ed Foreman Show tomorrow night, I suppose. Will you be there? You always are, right?
I'll definitely be there, man.
All right. Well, let's get it on. This is the Cisco Kid from War. Thanks, Dan. See you tomorrow.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Well, I say little recollect, darling, your words to fails. Little recollect, you need a love that's gonna lay.
New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. We believe it's time for a new approach on marijuana, and that Oregonians deserve a chance to decide in the 2014 general election. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. By implementing a strict system to regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana, we can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Under our approach for 2014, 40% of funds would support K-12 education, 20% would support mental health and treatment services, and 15% would be dedicated to law enforcement. Public opinion, coupled with victories in Washington and Colorado, confirms marijuana legalization is inevitable. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you.
Jorge Cervantes TV, starring Jorge Cervantes from Barcelona, Spain. Thursdays at 9 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Monday, and that means it's time for Cannabis Science, and it's the first Cannabis Science show before the 420 weekend. We've got Dr. Mitch on the line. How you doing, Dr. Mitch? Hello, Dr. Mitch, are you there? Oh, my goodness. We'll have to try and dial back and see what's going on with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. He is supposed to be on the line there. But while I've got you here, I can tell you that both Dr. Mitch and I will be appearing in Florida at the Florida Marijuana Conference, taking place May 17th in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I will be there presenting. I just got booked. I sent a note out to Bobby Platshorn saying, hey, what's up with this conference? You mind if I come out? And he said, sure, come on out. So I'll be there. And Dr. Mitch, you on the line now?
Indeed I am.
Oh, and you'll be presenting, I think, via Skype, though. Is that correct?
Yeah, unfortunately, graduation's the same day. And then that night, a friend of mine's retiring after 43 years in the department, so I can't get down there.
Oh, well, still, the folks will get a lot of information from your presentation down there. And it's just, I'm just excited to see, you know, Florida's already preparing for what they believe is going to be inevitable passage of medical marijuana down there.
Things are polling super well, so I think it's really just fine for them to do this. It's not that they're counting their chickens or anything. I think everybody's just trying to get their ducks in a row.
Fantastic. All right, so let everybody know in our chat room that we are taking your questions now for Dr. Mitch Earlywine, or if you'd like to call in, the phone number is 971-533-7111, but we always begin by giving the doctor the first word on what's the latest in cannabis science.
It turns out it's Passover, and so I've been just getting a lot of emails about whether or not marijuana is kidney odor, whether or not marijuana is okay for Passover time. So it's funny. In fact, it seems like it's absolutely fine, but I'm actually going to talk to a rabbi about it tonight. That's been the biggest part of research lately.
That would be interesting to know. What I don't suppose it comes up in Cedar at any point. There's eating everything else.
The state doesn't really address it, but the fact that the seeds are there and they might have contact with other grains has been the big issue, and I just thought it was really funny.
That's interesting. All right, well, we'll get the news on that once you find out from the rabbis. And, of course, Passover, 420 is falling on Easter for the Christians. I mean, this is a holiday for everybody coming up this weekend.
You know it. It's a big time.
All right. I wanted to ask you about a study that I had to research today. In doing a story, the cops in Nebraska and in Oklahoma are saying, oh my God, the pot coming out of Colorado, it's so potent. And of course, I go back to the potency research and some of Dr. Carl Hart's research on how users self-titrate. But I guess there was just recently a study that came up in addictions saying that, yeah, pot users titrate, but they still end up getting more THC, even though they're smoking less. Did you see that study? And what can you tell us about it?
I haven't seen that original abstract, other than the abstract yet so far. So I can only say odds are high that is the case, just because, you know, more THC, it makes it harder to titrate. I think, you know, sending the message that if you're smoking pot you haven't smoked before, one hit and then waiting 15 minutes is really a great habit. But nobody seems to want to do that, so I'm just trying to spread the word and get the motivation out. But again, then the tacit assumption is, you know, more is so much worse. But in fact, most folks don't end up getting markedly more intoxicated. We need to look at those subjective measures as well as how much THC is in the blood.
Yeah, in one of the articles that I was finding on this, Dr. Nora Volkoff was quoted, and of course she's from National Institutes of Drug Abuse, and she criticized the self-titration point of it by saying, yeah, maybe if you're an experienced user, you can self-titrate, but if you're a newbie, she didn't say newbie, but, you know, if you're a newbie, that you might not have as good an ability. Is the pot so potent that even one puff and waiting 15 minutes could be too much for some inexperienced user?
I mean, it's possible, but it seems rather unlikely.
Yeah. Okay. And that seemed to be the response from Dr. Hart and some others to Volkoff's criticism, too. So, okay. In other news that happened today, we had, actually, just last week, the governor of Kentucky signed their...
Still here? I'm sorry.
Yes, still here.
All right, sorry, something's wrong with my phone.
Oh, okay. In the news today, of course, we had the governor of Maryland signed the decrim and medical bills for Maryland, but also in the past few weeks we've had Utah, Kentucky, and now Alabama, or Utah, Alabama, and now Kentucky have signed their CBD only bills. This led to a little Twitter beef between, I don't know if it's a beef, but a discussion between Steve Bloom at Celebstoner and Marijuana Policy Project as to, is Maryland the 21st medical marijuana state, or is it the 24th medical marijuana state? What do you think about that discussion?
No, I'm sorry. It's the 21st. And these CBD-only bills are not medical marijuana bills. I don't care how anybody else frames it, because it doesn't really help all medical marijuana users. So it's just a scam to kind of say, hey, we've done something, so now leave us alone with medical marijuana, when in fact these CBD-only bills are just not going to do well. Paul Armentano's address that on the Normal blog really well.
And so if we're drawing lines, then, I mean, at what point is it medical marijuana? I mean, some Californians would say, hey, none of the other states cover depression, anxiety, or, you know, other mental conditions. How can they be medical marijuana states?
I feel like if it's providing access to THC containing plant, then even if it's only for some people, it's a medical marijuana state.
Okay.
I definitely would like to see some broader definitions about what qualifies, much like some of the things that they have in California. But, you know, again, if the THC is not available, then a whole subset of folks with symptoms really don't get any help.
Sure. I've been avoiding the controversy by just saying 21st whole plant medical marijuana state.
I think that's a wise move for anybody in the media.
Yeah. All right. We got some questions from our chat room. Roland Reverend would ask, is intoxicated a correct word, or is there a better word to describe high?
I try to just say recently used, just to sidestep the negative connotations around intoxication. And then a bunch of folks say commune with the plant, or in a state of bliss.
You know, it brings up a linguistic thing. I was reading an article that was on American Spectator written in January, and it was it's basically they resurrected Art Linkletter's ghost from the 1970s and make the argument that drinkers drink to be social and, you know, tokers smoke pot to get high. And he went into depth on it, but basically it was still the same argument. But it did bring up the fact, as I was replying to this guy, that when we talk about drinking, we have this whole lexicon that ranges from anywhere from, you know, buzzed, tipsy, friendly, social, all the way to blotto, shit-faced, you know, drunk, you know. We have so many different words to describe the spectrum of alcohol intoxication. We just don't have that with marijuana, it seems.
I think we should start making up some words. You're certainly in the center of this for us, but I would say buzz should mean something in the middle, and blotto might be on the far end,
and maybe happy would be yeah. the beginning part.
I had somebody suggest lifted would be one to put in there too somewhere. So we'll work that out.
This.
We'll work out the Russ Belville taxonomic scale of marijuana effects.
That's great.
All right. We have another question from our chat room. Howdy Y'all asks, have cannabis oils proven useful for treatment of basal or squamous cell carcinomas and melanomas?
Again, we don't have any randomized clinical trials. We've got tons and tons of people swearing by it on the internet, not for those particular disorders, but for some comparable cancerous type cells. I'm cautiously optimistic about the things that those people are saying, but until we've got a published randomized clinical trial, I just can't say for sure.
You know, going back to the CBD stuff that we were talking about earlier, and you made a mention of it's kind of a CYA, a way of saying, oh, we did something without really doing much of anything. How much of this can we lay at the CNN programs, the Sanjay Gupta 2 documentaries that seem to have highlighted a lot about CBD and given the short shrift to THC? I mean, they featured a couple people, but not in as much depth as they featured the kids and the epilepsy and the CBD.
I think it kind of backfired in that somebody, either Sanjay Gupta or one of the producers, thought, hey, I'll go with the kids and that'll open everybody's heart. And then somehow it just got these CBD-only laws onto the books, or made that seem like that was the route to take. And I'm disappointed that it hasn't had a bigger impact, particularly in those states that are now passing CBD-only laws.
Yeah, it is a little frustrating for folks, and there's kind of a growing chorus of anti-CBD only people that are building in the medical marijuana community. How can we turn this around? It seems like in these southern states and these really conservative states, the argument that it doesn't get you high is the only thing that works with them.
Well, I think it's a reasonable start, but I think as they see that this is harmless, maybe they'll be more open-minded about THC containing plants as well. I can only hope, but in truth, the access to these CBD-only strains is going to be limited, and I honestly fear that nobody's really going to benefit from these laws anyway, and I feel like if we come in with that argument, too, with those very same kids who we're so concerned about, that may be a step in the right direction.
Okay. Another story that was in the news today had to do with the placement of a medical marijuana vending machine in a Denver dispensary. And of course, a lot of the opponents like to bring up the vending machines and make some comparison to cigarette machines from back in the day. What's your feeling as a doctor as far as people accessing medicine through a vending machine?
I got to admit, there isn't a big precedent for this, shall
yeah.
we say. And I'm only a psychologist, so I don't have prescription privileges. But I don't think this is what people usually think of when they think of medical access. The problem tends to be if these are, locked up in a space where only people who are already approved have access, it's probably fine. But much like the old cigarette machines, if there isn't any supervision, this could turn into leakage into the teen market.
Okay. And final question that we'll have here, we're approaching we're approaching the 420 weekend, and there's going to be a lot of people descending on Colorado. We've already seen hotel searches for Denver are up 75% from last year. A bunch of people coming from out of state. Any safe 420 words of wisdom you'd like to impart to them?
The theme, again, is less is more. I'm telling you, if you wait till late day, if you're willing to take half a hit instead of a whole one, you're going to have more fun in the long run.
There we go. Less is more, folks. Moderation in all things. Dr. Mitch Earlywine joins us every Monday for our Cannabis Science segment. He is also the chairman of the Normal Board of Directors, and we'll be seeing his presentation May 17th at the Florida Marijuana Conference. Check out floridamarijuanaconference.com for information. Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us, and
thanks
happy Passover.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show. the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. 420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
Well, there's this girl on my block. Every time I see her, she asks me to get high. And every time I tell her that I'm not into that. She says all the kids are doing it. If that's true, then why doesn't she find someone else to do it with?
Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a goof. Flame on, flame on if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Fire it up. Flame on, flame on if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Bully boy's a man. Flame on, flame on if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Flame on, flame on.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Could 2014 be 1978 all over again? One thing that I have the luxury of doing here is referring back to history. I've been writing now on marijuana reform for 9 years or so, and this just comes to mind. I've been importing all of my old blog posts from the old Normal Stash blog, and it's gotten me looking back on some of these old writings and the old situations, and it's amazing to me how much things have changed. You know, I can look at some of my posts from 2008 and so, and there's a completely different landscape than what we're dealing with now, 6 years later. And it reminds me that in politics, things can change a whole lot, and sometimes you don't even ever see it coming. And I think it's important for us to learn from our history and to recognize our history so that we can be wary of some of the pitfalls that happened to the people before us. So looking back at 1978. If you look at the Gallup polls in 1978, the Gallup poll had risen from about 12% support for marijuana legalization in 1969 to 28% in 1978. So it had more than doubled in support. And with that rapidly rising set of polls, people began to feel, especially in the reform community, that there was this inevitability to marijuana legalization. And you also have to look back at the political landscape that was happening. Between 1973 and 1978, there were 11 states, that decriminalized personal use of marijuana to some extent. Most of them are just no arrest, you get a fine kind of things. Starting with Oregon in 73, and then Nebraska in 1978 was the last of those 11 states. So for the marijuana reform movement at that time, it was just an unprecedented time of joy and a feeling of inevitability. That feeling of inevitability was also heightened by President Carter and his election. He was running for office in 1975, talking about supporting the decriminalization of marijuana. He stood before Congress in 1977 and called for the elimination of federal penalties for the personal use and possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana. He famously said that the punishment for the use of a drug should not be more harmful to the person than the use of the drug itself. So there was this feeling of inevitability. The polls were up. Things were marijuana was popular. It was getting more popular. It was getting its own movies. Cheech and Chong were coming out and so forth. Seems a lot like today in some respects, where our polls have been going up and up and up. And states are falling all over each other to try to pass medical or pass decrim or even legalization coming up in Alaska and Oregon. It just seems so inevitable. And the public, 75% of the public, believes that marijuana legalization is inevitable. So in the face of all this inevitability, the devil's advocate in me starts to wonder, what would it take to break that? What would it take to turn this thing around? What would it take for us to end up in the same position we ended up just 2 years after 1978? Because what happened in 1978 is we get to the end of 1978. There was a party, a Christmas party at Normal's headquarters in Washington, D.C. And lots of people were there, of course, having a good time. And you also have to understand how cocaine mixed into this. In the late 70s, marijuana and cocaine were both party drugs, as well as mushrooms and quaaludes to some extent, right? So there was this kind of hedonistic atmosphere of the late 70s. It was the era of disco and Studio 54 and If It Feels Good, Do It and the Me Generation and all that. And cocaine and marijuana weren't seen as that much different. Marijuana was certainly more popular, more people were using it, but cocaine was rising in popularity. And if you look at some of these old 1970s, 1980s High Times magazines that we've been giving away on Fridays, you'll find lots of articles about cocaine, about hallucinogens, about quaaludes, and so forth. In fact, a few of the covers that we've got, in fact, one of the Christmas covers, I think it's Christmas 1980 cover, features a woman in lingerie cutting up three lines of cocaine on a mirror on the bed. I mean, it was seen as just a party drug. It was seen as just fun. Maybe more intense than marijuana was, but still something that people could use responsibly and just have a good time with. So we had this cocaine kind of culture that was building. And at that Normal party, that December Normal party, a man by the name of Peter Bourne was at the party. Now, Peter Bourne was, I can't call him Carter's drug czar because they didn't have a drug czar back then, but he was the policy advisor on drugs. I mean, there may be lots of policy advisors on drugs. Let me rephrase that. He was the drug policy advisor. But anyway, he was the point man for the Carter administration on drugs. And the Carter administration set, you know, an unprecedented path in saying that they supported decriminalization of marijuana. But cocaine was still verboten. Cocaine was still scary enough to the American public that you couldn't bring it up in that scenario. Nobody was proposing decriminalizing cocaine. Nobody was proposing legalization of cocaine. Peter Bourne shows up at this party at the Normal headquarters and is offered some cocaine. And to the surprise of everyone in attendance, he took some. Took two snorts off of one of those little bullets. You know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry. It's a paraphernalia device for snorting cocaine. Anyway, he took a couple snorts off the bullet, right? And there were numerous witnesses at the party. Now, the news didn't get out immediately that Bourne was using cocaine at the party. But what ended up happening later is Bourne ended up getting caught in a prescription scandal where he was writing prescriptions for some aide or some staffer or something. I forget the exact details, but writing a prescription for someone he shouldn't have to be able to get, you know, a controlled drug. In the wake of that scandal, as it got investigated by Jack Anderson, who was a Washington, D.C. Number one journalist, basically, muckraker, as this guy was, investigating the prescription scandal, he starts interviewing people about Bourne and his drug use and starts to find multiple reports from people coming back saying that, yeah, Bourne used cocaine at a Normal party. When Jack Anderson contacts Keith Stropp, the founder and at that time executive director of Normal, Keith was mad at Bourne at the time for backing down on some legislation and some of the Carter administration stands for marijuana freedom. So Keith told him, I can neither confirm nor deny that. Well, in Washington, D.C., I can neither confirm nor deny means, yeah, but I'm not going to say so. Right. So that pretty much cemented the number of basically witnesses that Anderson needed to go forward with that. Once Bourne was taken down in this cocaine scandal, you also had the 1978 midterm elections that had happened in November. Now, that was before the Christmas party, but In November, you got the midterm elections where the Democrats, they still held the House, but they'd lost 15 seats in the House. Then you got the December Christmas party. And then following that, you get the prescription scandal and then you get Bourne stepping down. Carter found himself in a precarious political position where he had to back off of all of his support of marijuana decriminalization. So you fast forward a couple years. The Carter economy is stagnant. Jobs are, you know, nobody's working. Unemployment is high. Inflation is high. There's fear of Islamic terrorism. The Iranians had taken the hostages at the embassy. And in 1980, you get the election of Ronald Reagan. And from that point on, you get the Just Say No era, and you get the greatest decrease in poll support for marijuana legalization and an absolute freeze on any marijuana reforms taking place from that point on. So could 2014 be our 1978? We got midterm Democratic elections coming up, and it's most of the prognosticators are saying the Democrats are going to lose the House, or they've already lost the House. They're going to lose the Senate, and that'll be a completely Republican Congress. Now, in the past, the House has tried to do things like repeal Obamacare, but it could never get through the Senate. But if the Senate turns Republican, then you've got Obama having to fight off every Tea Party wingnut bill coming his way with his veto pen, and hoping they can't raise veto-proof majorities to overturn this stuff. And the House has also proposed a bill that would allow them to, the Congress, to sue the president if the president does not uphold federal laws. Now, a lot of that's aimed at immigration and such, but it could also be aimed at the federal laws against marijuana that are being broken in Colorado and Washington. With a Republican Senate and a Republican House, could they get that bill through and be able to sue President Obama to force his Justice Department to perform raids in Washington and Colorado marijuana businesses? It could certainly put the brakes on any efforts at the Justice Department to be able to change regulations with regard to banking. So could this happen? Could we lose? Could the Democrats lose the House and the Senate and put more political pressure on Obama to crack down on the marijuana experiments going on in Colorado and Washington? And I think all that really needs to happen for them to help push that through is the spark. Now, the spark in 1978 was the Bourne scandal. What kind of scandal could happen in the Obama administration that might lead to this, that kind of repercussions? The only thing I can put my finger on at this point would be either, I shouldn't say only, the two things I can put my finger on that might help this backlash would be the rising heroin overdoses, the rising heroin problem, and people trying to link that as a gateway to, you know, once we legalized, we got soft on drugs, the heroin went crazy. And the other possibility, BHO, butane hash oil. We really don't know. We don't have much long term on what happens if someone starts using highly concentrated dabs at age 16, does them every day, day after day after day after day after day, what happens to them in 6 to 10 years? We don't really know. Nobody has really encountered that experiment before. Could there be a parent's backlash? Could there be something we find out about really potent BHO? Could it be explosions, more and more explosions happening? Maybe the next explosion that happens starts a fire in an apartment complex that ends up killing kids in a daycare. Who knows what it could be, but one scandal of the right kind along could be the spark that lights the tinder of these groups that want marijuana to be illegal again. They could, if they can find a way to paint marijuana legalization as a public danger, as something to scare people. Now, so far, first 3 or 4 months into Colorado with legalization have been great. Crime's gone down. Tax revenues have come in. But as that goes on, as black markets continue to undercut the overtaxation, and then they get painted with the problems that come of those black markets get painted as problems of legalization. And what could seal the deal is if in 2016 we end up with a President Cruz or a President Christie or a President Jeb Bush. Don't think it's not possible, people. I hate to be the harbinger of bad news and the bringer of doom, but it's my job to think of these worst-case scenarios, and the best way you can prevent this from happening is to get politically involved. Get yourself involved. Get yourself registered to vote. And get out there and talk to your friends, your family, your neighbors, and get them to vote too. These things can fall away. They are not inevitable. Politics can change. But not if we have something to say about it. That's all the time we got for hour one. We'll take your calls in hour two if you want to talk about it some more. Plus, we got some show and tell. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you